Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Andre Grief.
So with it being Christmas in July, I thought the best thing I could do is talk to you guys about your relationships. Because everything is highlighted in December, and sometimes it's a really sad time for people, and for others, and I think it should be, it's a great time. Because you get to celebrate, you get to exchange gifts with awesome friends and awesome family. And we know that it's so important that you actually are in relationship with other people. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Especially how cold it is now. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And of course, we see in that scripture that two are better than one. Two can do more. They'll get more reward for their labor. They can stand back to back. If one falls down, the other one can pick them up. And of course, if one's cold, the other one keep them warm. And then three are better than two. And of course, it's speaking about the Spirit of God being in your situation. Jesus himself being at the center of your relationships. Right throughout scripture, we get wisdom on relationships. We get encouraged about relationships. We get encouraged to be good friends. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, walk with the wise and you'll become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Again, Proverbs is most probably one of the books that gives you so much information about friendship. I might actually touch on those scriptures again just for the guys at the back as I go through my sermon. But wisdom is the supernatural ability to apply God's word. And when Proverbs speaks about your friendships, it's actually trying to teach you how to have wisdom in being a friend. Just before I get into friendship, I also want to say to you in all your relationships, in your relationship with your parents, in relationship with your spouse, in relationship with your friends, with colleagues and that, the key to taking your friendship to another level is that principle we see in the Bible where Roman soldiers could ask young guys to carry their armor in their bags. And the scripture, Jesus actually used that teaching. And he said, you know, if a Roman soldier asks you to carry his stuff 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. And of course, what's amazing is they reckon you can go to Rome and you can actually see where young boys actually wrote their name down. They got so used to carrying Roman soldiers' gear that they actually would know where the Roman soldier would ask them, because they'd be standing there and they would know exactly where the mile mark was. And they would write their name down on the mile mark. So they would go, I've carried a mile. And they put it down. If you want your life to become more rewarding, always be a second mile person when it comes to your friendships. Here's an example. Me, when I do something for my wife, that's my role in the family, or let's say it's taking out the dirt, or let's say it's packing the dishwasher, or let's say it's just getting the girls ready. I know it can sound weird. Me doing it's 1 mile. Me not telling her that I did it is the second mile. Because sometimes we do stuff and then we tell people we did it. You know what I did for you? Mom, you know I did this. My friends, you know what I've done for you? That's the deal. You need to ask yourself, are you just a 1 mile person in your relationships? Are you just a 1 mile person where you're going, I'm going to do only what I have to do? And I encourage you to take your friendships to a second mile. But so in Proverbs, we see them talk about friendships. And you can go, Andre, we're living in a society where family is important. family is the most important. Then our society says your marriage, of course, for most of us, we first grow up in our family and then we meet our spouse and then we form our own family and then that family is the most important. And then we have neighbors next to us on our streets and in our community, we have neighborhood watch. Now, we've just had a family in our church, Chabo and Dee, who just got home this afternoon. Their house was broken into. And they on in our view group. So they message us, and I got to phone them and just find out what's happening. But if their neighbors had seen it, they could have actually helped them. They would have heard the guys breaking in, breaking the trellis door, doing all they can. But our society says that those relationships are important. But the reason our society says that is because we are busy. We're getting busier and busier and busier, and friendships are on the back burner. Who of you have finished school year and the friends you had in school you just lost contact with? Hey? Who of you had great friends and you've just actually, you don't speak to them anymore, you don't see them, but it's not because you're a bad friend or a bad person. I reckon it's just because you're busy and maybe you haven't got a revelation of how good friendship really is. So Proverbs actually says, you know, people have, there are people who have friends and you need to be a friend to have a friend. But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Of course, I read that to you earlier, that scripture. And it's found in Proverbs 18 verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What's crazy about the scripture is when you read into it, it's actually saying that what a friend gives you, your family can't give you, and your neighbor can't give you, and your spouse can't give you. It's actually very interesting. So you say, Andre, like, what are you going to talk to me about now? You're saying those are less important. No, no. I'm just saying they can't give you what Proverbs says a friend can give you. Because here's the thing. Scripture also says in Proverbs that a friend loves at all times, but a sibling is for adversity. A friend loves at all times, but a sibling is for adversity. Proverbs 17, verse 17. What it's saying here is your brother and your sister and your family are going to be there in your hard times when there's adversity, but your friend will be there all the time. Because your friend is a chosen one. Your family, they don't have a choice. What's crazy is some of us won't go out and hang out and watch rugby or braai with our family members, but we'll always only braai with our friends. And I'm not trying to belittle family. I need you to see what he's saying in the scripture. He's saying if you find a great friend, they're going to be with you all the time. They're going to be there. And I'll explain. It's not that they're there all the time. You're like, what the heck are you doing here, bro? Because let's face it. Once your friend's there all the time, you're like, go home, bro. Just go home. I'm actually willing to give this friendship up. You like, you are here too much. Anyone have one of those friends? Anyway, let's face it. They're not good friends. So friendship in our society right now is on the back burner the older you get. And I'm just stating facts here. It's going to be on the back burner. Life's going to get busy. And what's crazy is these verses were written in a time and when family was more important to them than it is to us. I've done work in Australia with Matric Rage, and they call it schoolies. And we set up this the safety program, and it was run by an organization called Red Frogs. So we had this rugby player, professional rugby player in the church. He went there, he saw it, and they ended up contacting me and asking me to come out there and watch it. And we set it up in Plett, and I flew up to Bolito, and we set up there. And our church in Durban, Grace Church, runs it throughout the country. But we just took it on as View Church for 3 years. I said, I can give you 3 years. And we set it up. But what's crazy was I was in Brisbane, and I was living in this hotel on the beach. It was great, and it was quite crazy. They had like out at the Red Frog stage, and then they had the party stage. It was Kylie Minogue and all the, like, they brought, like, they spent money on Matric Rage. It's 120,000 Matrics who party at Brisbane. They make serious dough. So I was walking. What we did was we educated people. We said, don't party in a way that you'll regret it the rest of your life. In Australia, they had the highest suicide rate for teenagers in the world at that point. So they would actually find the suicide was super high on that weekend. Rape was super high on that weekend. So what we did was we created safety. We were everywhere. And then we just were your friend. We just encouraged you to make good decisions. We didn't say stop partying. We said, why don't you party in a way that you won't regret it? Okay, and in that space, they opened their lives up to us, started talking to us, and people got saved. And so I used to walk. We did walk homes. So you safety, and then you do walk homes from 3 to 5 in the morning. Oh, my head. I used to work from 10 till 5. Anyway, it was not great. It was hectic hours. And I used to walk these kids home. And I'd say to them, so what are you doing next year? And they're like, Mom, getting out my house. Really? It's like, yeah, then what you going to do? He's like, I'm just gonna live by myself. I said, where's your friendship? And where's your family? He says, I don't know, I need to make it now. You know, I just need to make it in life and maybe I'll see my parents at Christmas and maybe I'll do this. But clearly he's saying, I have no time to be connected to really strong relationships. I have no time. Even a lot of these guys said to me, they had no time to be connected to even good friendship. They said, I don't know if I'm gonna see these people again. This is my last weekend partying with them. But we're living in a world that's putting not only friendship on the back burner, people are putting all kinds of relationship on the back burner. But we are seeing in Proverbs that if you build friendship, you actually are going to have what you need in life. Proverbs is actually saying that you won't have the life you're dreaming of without friends. This is what the writer is actually saying. He says the life you're dreaming of, you will never have it without friends. If I could put it in plain English. But here's the deal. That friendship, love, brings about that unique companionship you're looking for in life. Because here's the thing. Friendship is side by side. Romantic love is face to face. A lot of us think that romance is going to fulfill us. It's going to be a huge blessing. But I promise you, it's that side by side friendship where you find a brother and a sister who loves you at all times. And we need to be people who see that. My wife and I, our weekends are more fun based on the friends in our world. It is. We love each other and we are romantically in love with each other, but our marriage goes to a whole nother level when we have friends. I don't know whose phone is on, but I want to release you to put that off in Jesus' name. Is that cool? Does somebody need to be released there? So of course, here's the thing. This is so interesting. In the book of Proverbs, the writer's saying the uniqueness that the companionship you're looking for in life is going to come from a friend who loves you at all times. But here's the thing. Your friendships can also cause you great harm. Friendship can be your greatest blessing, but it can also bring you your greatest harm. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, but for a companion of fools suffers harm. So he's saying, side by side, you need to find people who are wise to walk with. A friend will love you at all times, but the best friend is going to be a wise friend. Don't start finding great friendship with a fool. And I'm going to explain to you why that doesn't work and why having a purpose is going to help you find a better friend. But you need to realize, friendship is a great blessing, but the wrong friend can be a great curse. So what do we do? How do we find friends? How do we discover friends? Proverbs 8 verse 24 says, as a man has friends, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, for there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. First of all, there's another version of this verse, and it says that a man who has many friends, that's not a good thing, because there's one who sticks close to the brother. And I want to say this, if you have got a lot of friends, that's a sign that you most probably don't have one really good friend. You haven't truly invested in friendship if you've just got a lot of friends. And that's a challenge to us. And the reason it's a challenge, because we live in a society where friendship is not important. it's on the back burner. So when you've got a lot of friends, Proverbs says you most probably haven't got a really good one. And you need to start trusting for one. But then in this version, it says a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Here's the key. If you want to find a friend, you need to learn to become a good one. I always say this. If you play soccer, you'll be able to watch soccer and say, he's a good soccer player. If you play rugby, you'll be able to watch rugby and say, that's a good rugby player. If you play netball, that's a good netball player. If you are a friend, you'll be able to spot a friend. But this is the thing. People are looking for other people to befriend them. You need to learn how to be a friend in a way that's going to allow you to find the right friend. So Proverbs 27 verse 9 says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. And the pleasantness of a friend springs from the heartfelt advice. Now the pleasantness of that friend. So perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from the heartfelt advice. Now the pleasantness of that advice is actually compared to honey. And this is what you need to understand. In those days, they had no ability to make sweet food. And if you study the scripture, it says, when you find a good friend, it's like eating a delicious sweet meal. Who digs sweets over here? Come on, just, hey? Who digs, what's your favorite sweet? Your chocolate, your dessert? Okay. Especially in winter, it's so hard to stay away from those things, hey? Okay. In those days, they had no ability to make sweets and cake. They couldn't create it. They had to discover it. Sweetness was only discovered in their day. It wasn't created. The writer of Proverbs is saying, the friend you're looking for is not one that you create or one that you just set up at the running club. I'm just going to go to a friendship circle group. I'm going to speed friendship dates. I'm going to create my circle. No, no. The friend you're looking for is discovered. But here's the deal. You only discover that friend based on purpose. You never really discover the friends you're looking for based on looking for friends. Because here's the thing. Real friendship is that moment when you go, somebody tells you what they believe, and you go, you too? Me as well. And all of a sudden, friendship opens up in your life. But when you find somebody who says, I want to be your friend, you say, hey, what do you believe? They go, I don't care what you believe, I just want to be your friend. They'll never be a great friend. They're looking for the wrong thing from you. They're saying, I just want to be your friend for friend's sake. You are going to get tired and drained by that person. Who's ever had a friend? You're like, are we dating? Like, for goodness sake, I thought we were friends, bro. I've already got a wife. We're not in a date. Like, what's up with us? You hurt my feelings. Is that a deal? Oh, my freaking hat. Like, you're like, true friends, you won't find you having a lot of conversations of you hurt my feelings and you're not there for me with a true friend. Because they've got a purpose and you've got a purpose and you meet alongside each other on the way somewhere. You're meeting around a cause and a purpose. You're not meeting just to be friends. Because if we're meeting just to be friends, you're going to drain the junk out of each other. Hey, I feel our friendship hasn't gone to a new level. Really? Jeez, bro. I never knew we were this close. No, but we need to be close. Here's the deal, my best friends, they're my friends. They're my friends, that's it. They don't phone me and say, you didn't phone me. You didn't phone me either, so what? I'm busy, yeah, me too. We're on a journey, we're going somewhere. Friendship is not face-to-face, it's alongside. And if you're going nowhere, you're not going to meet anyone. That's the problem. When you're looking for friends, then you're looking for the wrong thing. But when you're looking for purpose, you will always run into friends. Simple practice. How do I meet friends? It's that you meet friends around a common cause, around a purpose. And that's why in those days, they had to discover food that was sweet. You'll only discover true friendship in purpose. Simple maths. That's why we say to young guys and girls, the worst way to meet your husband or wife is just looking for them. The best way to meet them is when you're on your way somewhere for God. And I always say, if you're on your way somewhere for God, on a horse, I don't know. And she says, stop, let's climb off the horse and talk and let's go down there. She's the wrong one. But if she says, I'm also on my way somewhere, you go, hey, we could go somewhere in life. But the deal is, you get off the horse, you're going nowhere in life. You get off, anyway. So what makes a friend is not, oh, do you want to be my friend? What makes a friendship is that important to you too? Wow, also to me. And you all of a sudden go, wow, we've got a common cause. And you keep going on a journey together. The hardest thing to say is the worst people to be friends with are just people who are looking for friends. They're going to be high maintenance. Because they don't understand what true friendship is. So once you've discovered your friends, you've got the foundation now to start building your friendship on. And here's some basic things. So the first thing you need to do is find a purpose, go on a journey, and your friend will come side by side. Because here's the deal. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden side by side. God's first connection with man was friendship, side by side. That's how we were designed. We were designed for relationship, for friendship. So once you've got that side by side friendship with somebody, and you might say, Andre, I have no friends. Well, get involved. Get into view groups. Get serving. You know what? I found more friends in this church ministering. I didn't come to this church to find friends. I already had my dodgy friends leading me down the wrong path. I'm still friends with those guys. It's just that I've got more friends, side-by-side friends now. I love my old mates. Like, we phone, and the other day I had a birthday, and all my friends came drunk. I was like, anyway. It's my birthday, bro. I'm a pastor. I've got all these people from the church here. What are you guys doing? Anyway, but I'm praying for those guys. But Dino's doing way better. Now, I'm joking. Thanks for that. I'm only joking. What's Dino? It was Graham. Now, I'm joking. But those friends came. I love them. But I've got other friends at the party who are my side-by-side friends. And we're connected, and we reach out to those, and I love those guys. But here's the thing. So you got the foundation. I've got my side-by-side friends. Then I start building on a foundation. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, remember I told you, like your family, in adversity, they're there. But a friend loves at all times. If you want to take your friendship, your side-by-side friendship up to another level, you have to be consistent in your friendship. Okay, and I'm speaking to myself because I feel I'm so busy that I'm not doing these things right, but I need to grow in it. There needs to be a consistency. I'm not saying you have to be there all the time, because Proverbs 25:7 says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and they will hate you. So you understand, it's not I'm going to be at your house 24/7. You open the garage, there you are. Like, what are you doing, bro? Get out of here. You need to be the most consistent when your friend's really going through a tough time. That's what that proverb is speaking about. When your friend's going through a hard time, you need to be the first one to phone them. Hey, I'm praying for you. What's up? We're getting through this together. I've got your back. That's the consistency the proverb speaks about. And if you're going to build a great friendship, you need to be constantly available in tough times. That's what it's speaking about. Another way of saying this is, a fair weather friend isn't a friend at all. You know, the weather's great. Hey, we're here. Let's party. It's the friend who decides they'll never let you be ruined in life. My commitment to you is that I'm committed to not seeing you ruined. I'm going to have your back. I might not always be there. And that's good, because you'll get irritated with me. But we're friends, side by side. But if I hear you're in trouble, I'm going to have your back. I'm going to phone you. I'm going to be there. And that's the kind of friends we need to trust for. But here's the cool thing is if you sow that kind of attitude, you'll reap that. So if you don't have that friend, you can start trusting God for that kind of friend. I promise you, God will give it. The second thing you can build in your foundation is carefulness. Proverbs 25 verse 20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is the one who sings songs to a heavy heart. It's like, don't go sing happy songs to a sad friend. You're not being careful with their emotions and their heart. You need to actually be sensitive to your friends. You don't have to, like, you know, always be crying and all these things. You can just actually know your friend well enough to go, hey, I'm not going to go sing this happy song because they've actually got a sore heart right now. And it's actually being aware of that. Another Proverbs 26 verse 18 to 9 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. If your friend goes, Prue, I don't take that as a joke, you are not being careful with their emotions. And you're not going, I'm going to take my friend's emotions into account. I'm going to take what's happening in their heart into account. Proverbs 27 verse 14, a loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. Again, simple advice. Simple. Just be careful. Start to read your friend. Start to think ahead. If I know my friend's going through a hard time, I'm not going to go just sing a joyful song in their face. I'm going to be careful with their emotions. And what's going to happen? That friend who's side by side with you, you're going to add another layer to your friendship. And that's according to Proverbs. We can't be emotionally disconnected. You need to understand your friend's internal makeup. If they cry when the box cry, you're going to have to cry. No, I'm joking. When the box lose, luckily they're going to be happy. But you have to understand it. The third thing you need to do to be a great friend is you need to tell the truth. This is a biggie because this is hard. A lot of people don't do this. But if you will do this, you will reap great friendships. Your friendships will go to another level. Now, don't just go tell the truth to somebody who's not your friend. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, you need to stop, blah, blah, blah. Cool, that's going to help them, but they're surely not going to accept it. But your friend, when you tell them the truth, and they know that you are there so they won't be ruined, you're there in their hard times, and you're actually sensitive to their emotions, and then you tell them the truth, they're going to listen. But you tell them the truth for their good, not just for your good, for their good. So Proverbs 27, 5, 6 says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I don't know if you can think about somebody who kissed somebody else to give them away, to hand them over. Judas kissed Jesus' cheek so that the men who were coming to fetch him could see. See, the deal was, by kissing Jesus' cheek, it was more comfortable to kiss his cheek and to seem like he was doing good than to say, there he is, crucify him. When we don't speak the truth about the situation, we're actually deciding you are not as important as my comfort. I've got my own heart and my self-interest. It's a bigger priority than yours. I'm actually more self-interested in my well-being than yours. And that's why an open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. If you just wash over it the whole time and you don't speak truth to your friend, you don't really love your friend. You're actually not taking your friendship up to another level. You can't add another layer onto your friendship. And that's the gift you are to your friend. Proverbs is speaking about. This is what we're missing out in life. A lot of us don't reach our destiny. And the number one reason, it's not because you don't have great parents. And it's not because you don't have great neighbors. It's because you just don't have great friends. But again, we're not victims. We can take initiative. See, here's the thing. You might say, I'm a self-made man. That's an absolute lie. You are formed by your family at the beginning. And then when you become older, you're formed by the friendships you keep. But if you can form great friendships, they can show your blind spot and you can go to new levels in life. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one with who has a flattering tongue. Proverbs 29 verse 5, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. You know what this is saying? When you flatter your friends, you're actually leaving a trap under their feet. And it's only a matter of time before that trap closes on them and they're caught up in something they should never be. But when you are honest with your friends, you're actually helping them step out of the trap. Step out of the things they're going to get caught up in. Yo, bro, you could leave a friend who's about to carry on down a path that will lead to divorce. Or you can say, get out of that, bro. And you help them. All of a sudden, they stay married. You could be leaving your friend in a trap. They might actually, your friend might actually be interested in dating somebody who's just going to destroy them. And you say, and you love them. And I say, hey, I love you. And I just don't think that's the right person for you. Why don't you pray about it some more? Why don't you be a bit patient? And you all of a sudden take them out of a trap. It's just, that's what good friends do. The scary thing about our society is, it's like, we all just want to be loved. So you know what? We think by just kisses on the cheek and saying, you're awesome. I love everyone. I have no problem with anyone. Everyone's right. It says when you are friends to many, you're friends to none. You don't have any friends. And the danger of our generation now is they want to be everyone's friend. Nobody wants to be honest. Nobody wants to get anyone out of the net. Nobody wants to come side by side. Nobody wants to be there in the hard times. They just want to celebrate. They want to write on social media, awesome, you're a great guy. We love you. I'm thinking, that's a dodgy photo. Now, I saw a guy put up this weird photo and everyone's going, you're awesome. I'm thinking, no, that's not awesome. Has he got a friend, this dude? That's just weird, bro. Why are you putting these photos up? He's in a net. He's trapping himself. Nobody wants to tell him. But it's like we feel this need to please people. See, that's the thing. When you're a people pleaser, everything is face to face. It's draining. But when you're a God pleaser, your friendships are side to side because you're on a journey to serve him and you meet people along the way who also want to do it. Your journey to help people. And then as iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27 verse 17, so friend sharpens a friend. And here's the thing that people don't get. Your friendships can't always be about everything. You and your friend liking everything the same. We're like twins, man. We were born to be friends. That's cool. But that friend's never going to sharpen you. Here's the powerful thing about the church. Once you get saved, you start coming to church, and every tribe and every tongue's in church. You've got everyone in church who you might not have been friends with at school. You would have think, that guy's not cool, she's not cool, they do that, we the this, we the jocks, they the musos, we the this, we the that. I don't know if we're going to be friends. But at church, all of a sudden, because we're walking in the same direction, we come side to side. You got a very different person come side to side with you. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to sharpen you. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron. I'm connected to people I never thought I'd be connected with. When I got to this church, I was a bit dodgy at school. I remember the Christian Action guys getting up on the stage doing stuff. I used to boo them. Boo, shut up. Anyway, that was bad. No, like, and then I got to church and I met them and they were like, these guys are so cool. And I thought they were like not cool. No, honestly, that's how I was thinking. And I was thinking, wow, I've robbed myself from getting to know some good people because I had this mindset about friendship. But you know what's crazy was the only reason I saw them as great people was because we were on the same road. See, when you start going the same road and you start doing the work of God, you start getting time to talk to people. You're on the same, hey, you here again. Yeah, yeah, so come. Yeah, what are you? Yeah, this, wow, you're a cool person. Me, yeah, I think that same thought. Wow, me too. I also think that. I never thought we'd be friends. I thought you hang out with them. I hang out. I didn't think we'd connect. That's the thing. When you start serving Jesus, you start to see people for the treasure they are. You start to discover sweetness. Because the deal is in school, you're trying to make your sweetness. I'm like, I'm trying to make my way. I need to get that girlfriend, hang out with these guys. You're trying to make your life happen. But when you serve God, it's this beautiful discovery of all the treasures that are out there. And you start making friends that are genuine. You start to enjoy life. Can I have the worship team up? But this is the sad part about it all. The only reason we don't have good friends, and here's the maths, is because we're not always great friends. That's it. For a man to have friends, he has to be a friend. That's it. The only reason we don't always have good friends is because we are not always great friends. Simple maths. We're not victims. We got saved by Jesus. We got all we need in Christ. We have an opportunity to build friendship. I remember doing a year to serve and I was 21. There was this dude. He was in a terrible accident. He was missing an arm and a leg. And I'll be honest with you, he always smelled like pee. Like, because he couldn't get to the toilet always. And no one sat with him. That year I decided, I'm going to sit with this dude. I'm going to form friendship. Because it broke my heart to see him so lonely. Because he would have been a hard dude to be a friend to. Because he had a lot of need. I remember sitting with him. Shame used to tell me, Andre, you don't have to sit with me. There are those other guys. You must probably dig sit with them more. And I said, no. And we actually started forming a new table with him. And he's always telling me, you guys don't have to sit with me. And you know what? I decided to sow friendship. Because that's the thing. I got a revelation that I've got so much already. I can be a friend. And even as I'm a friend alongside of him, he can see what friendship is. And he can also start to sow that into his world. And it was amazing. Like God started doing stuff in my life and he started speaking to me. It's because I think it was close to his heart. It's like when you start doing things that are close to God's heart, when you start being a friend to people, it's like God starts speaking to you about their business. And it's not so that you can skin it, but that you can help them. And that's why I've got a heart where I hate seeing people sit by themselves. My heart breaks. Because I think that's the worst place to sit. It says it's not good for man to be alone in Scripture. It says a person who isolates themselves is raging against all wisdom. But what's crazy is, his name is Pitt, it's like I didn't feel like he had a choice. It's like everything was against him. And we were the best place to be friends. So we went to be a friend. How do you become a friend? How do you start on this journey and walk? Who do you look at for an example? This is so hard. Who do I get my strength from to be a friend? Well, here's the amazing thing. In John 15, verse 15, Jesus was getting them ready before he went to the cross. And he says this to the disciples, I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. See, we forget right at the beginning, Adam and Eve were walking in the garden. And where did God come? Did he walk in front of them? No, he walked side to side with them. He was their friend. And then Jesus came down to earth and he had the disciples walking in this road with him. And guess what? He was their friend. Jesus is the ultimate friend. Jesus doesn't want your life to be ruined. He's there all the time when it's hard. He will tell you the truth. You'll read the Bible and Jesus will tell you as it is. You'll be like, wow, I needed that. When you are about to be trapped, Jesus will help you get out. He is the ultimate friend. If you keep tapping into Jesus, you too will become a great friend.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.